Let's bring in another voice of common sense. Some of the time, Toronto Mayor John Tory is here. It is, of course.
Oh, what? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. I won't even go there.
What are you going to say?
Like it. I'd love it though if you could take off the big ass fan commercial right before I come on every time.
Well, that's perfect. Isn't it a good segue?
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Let's get on to the serious business here. Don't take me down this road.
Yeah. Listen, we were talking about this earlier on the show, and I'm curious as to the mindset in all of this. We heard Friday the city's going after the creator of these wooden shelters. We've talked about him before, but the idea that we're now challenging him building these things and putting them on city property, is there not a way to put a guy like this to work, to get him in the fold, to maybe see if he's got some ideas? It seems like there are enough people that want to use these shelters. I know we had an incident last week where somebody did tragically die, but is there not some bigger thinking as opposed to using resources to go about it this way?
Well, I mean, look, let me just ask you this question. What would happen if everybody decided they were going to build little structures to put in parks for various purposes? You know, even if they were going to build little playhouses for children, everybody was going to put one of those up. I mean, you just can't have, Ryan. I mean, as often as not, I'd be on this program, you guys be asking me why we weren't cracking down on something. And this man is building shelters. He's a good-hearted soul, I'm sure. But he's building these shelters that, they are not safe, frankly. They shouldn't be in public parks. We're very focused on, creating a lot more affordable and supportive housing for people. And we have a track record in terms of what we're going to have accomplished in a year that will surpass any other year probably in the city's history in that regard. But in the meantime, I would think most people would agree it's common sense. You just can't have people going around, no matter how good their hearts are, just putting up structures or placing structures in parks all over the place. I mean, there are issues related to safety, to health, to liability. We've had people die in these, enclosures, and look, our answer to that is to get people better housing, which we're desperately trying to do. We've moved 3,000 people from the shelter system into other kinds of housing, and we've moved hundreds of people out of the encampments into better housing. But the answer clearly shouldn't rest, I don't think, with people just putting wooden structures of their choosing and their construction, no matter how ingenious they are, into a park.
Let's move on to the possible reopening for the city of Toronto. We've heard you say that you're optimistic that we're going to open up in a couple of weeks to a certain degree. We're also hearing you saying, you're not exactly thrilled with how many people we're seeing, according to the data, leaving their homes. By doing so, it's rising infections. Is it a constant battle between those two things of optimism and pessimism?
Well, yeah. So what I said I was optimistic about precisely today is we would be able to reopen because people would be so cooperative in the next 2 weeks because they're so anxious to see us, begin that process of reopening, which is going to be a gradual process anyway. So I am optimistic about that because I really do think if people put their minds to it and just stay home as much as they can, I mean, I won't repeat all the stuff we've talked about many times. But, and look, this whole thing is a balancing act. And, some of the hostile, bitter sort of emails that I get, and I'm sure, and I know you get lots of text about the decisions that I participate in with Dr. DeVille and others. We're sitting every day agonizing over these decisions. I've said this to you before because we know that it's going to be in the best interest of a lot of people's mental health and otherwise if we open everything up. But in good conscience, when you hear the concern expressed as recently as today, when I carefully questioned the medical officer of health about the variants, there is still a real concern about the number of cases that are arising in Toronto and outside and about some of the challenges that will even be posed by the regions around Toronto being open or partly open. So we just do the best we can. You do what you think is right. I heard the roundtable that followed me on Friday. I just kept the radio on, and I heard the woman who used to be the MP, I've just forgotten her name momentarily, from Oshawa, say, look, the people you should be looking to give some credit to are politicians who are taking unpopular decisions because they believe they're right. And I know this one isn't, uniformly popular, but I strongly believe it's the right thing to do based on expert evidence to have the extra 2 weeks, and we're going to work hard to make sure that we do everything we can to get open in 2 weeks and stay open, as you've heard me say before.
When it comes to, I can't even believe I have to ask you about these kind of things. I mean,
go ahead.
We've used so much oxygen about Chair Girl and that kind of thing. We hear tonight that city officials are now conducting an investigation to determine whether any rules were broken by the owner of a short-term rental unit. This is in this condo where people were throwing bottles off the balcony. I'm guessing that here we go again. We've got another situation. I'm not going to say it's Airbnb, but where we've got a short-term rental perhaps being used for this type of thing and this kind of behavior happens.
That's right. And there's a question, for example, as to whether are they properly registered. I mean, right now, as of the new rules that came in January, precisely to avoid this kind of partying going on, because not because we're killjoys, but because a lot of people who lived up and down the hall of that condo, you know, were saying to us it's ruining our quality of life to have the people coming and going every night having bachelor parties or whatever. And so we brought in the regulations. The principal requirement of the regulation is you have to register. And then it also allows us to determine if you're qualified, because now you have to be the actual owner and it has to be your residence to rent it out. You can't just be an absentee owner. So that's the investigation they're going to conduct to see if these people were also, in addition to being idiots who threw bottles, irresponsible idiots who threw bottles off a building, and idiots for having a party in which the 14 of them could give each other COVID, were also idiots that they didn't, the owners were, that they didn't follow the rules on short-term rentals.
Let's talk a little bit about Barbecue Guy in Etobicoke. By a little bit, I mean, I'm not going to say the name of the business or anything like that, or even his name, but the city has sent him an invoice for $187,000. This is, of course, the Barbecue Guy that had opened illegally, ended up being shut down and taken away. So an invoice for $187,000. Do we think we'll actually see any money from him, or is this just going to be in courts forever?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's in front of the courts now, so I can't say much. But I think most people listening out there on 1010 would think it was fair that when we went to the expense, because of repeated demonstrations incited by this man and his friends, to have a whole bunch of police officers and other, city people out there trying to keep the law, complied with and so forth, that it would be fair that we should say he should pay the cost of that. So we just sent him a bill. It's just the exact amount. You can see it's almost down to the penny, saying exactly what it costs for us to keep the law enforced as per the order of the Chief Medical Officer of Health to close that business.
I was reading an article today, and we have talked about this, the three of us on the show, about two female deputies leaving, the top female deputies in the City of Toronto's police force leaving for different posts abroad. There was an interesting tweet that was contained in the story in The Star, though, and it was from the Canadian Police Association in reaction to this departure. It said, "It's absolutely wild that it's taken Toronto almost a year, and they still haven't hired a replacement chief of police." What do you think about that, and where are we with that process? Because it does seem like a long time has gone by since our last chief left.
And it's funny, I read that same article first thing this morning, and I was so frustrated because the year he's talking about actually started in August when Chief Saunders left, and he left on pretty short notice, as you'll recall. And so the year started in August, and last I checked, it's not a year since August. It's 6 months. And in the 6 months, we've hired two firms, one the search firm, and the other one a firm to do another process that the public, quite rightfully, in my view, insisted upon, which is for the first time ever, we're going to consult the public. We're in the process of doing it now. What kind of person, what kind of approach to policing should the new chief bring with them? And so we're doing what the public wanted. It has been 6 months. We have said we'll have it done by later this year, but we're going to do it right. And in the meantime, by the way, we've got a fantastic guy who agreed to serve as interim chief, namely Jim Raymer. And I think he's doing a great job, and he's getting on with some of the reforms that people wanted. So it's not like we don't have anybody leading the police service. He's doing a great job, and we're doing it carefully, and it's not a year. This is where stuff gets repeated over and over again, that somebody from who's probably never visited Toronto, said was going on here. And so those are the facts.
We're asking the public what they think would make a good police chief, really?
Yep. Well, yeah, what kind of qualities, what kind of approach to policing
do you think
we should be looking for?
The hell does the public know about
that? Well, they don't know. Come on now, Ryan. Like, you can't. That's one of the crazier things you've said recently, and that's right up there. The public have a lot to say, because, I mean, part of the genesis of all the problems we had last summer and before were that they felt policing was out of touch with the community, and the community was out of touch with policing. And when you have a disconnect like that, you have an erosion of trust in policing, and that's very dangerous. And so I think the public know a lot about what they want to see say on something like we have been talking about, which is how do you handle mental health calls, and what, should we be looking for a person who has some degree of experience in policing and dealing with, the thousands upon thousands of calls to do with mental health, and that's one of 100 examples. So I think the public have a lot to say about this, because the police are there to protect the public and keep them safe, and I think the public should be asked.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
You too. Have a good night.
I just disagree, but there you have
it. That's all good.